The skies over Syria are so crowded with planes and missiles, you wonder who's in charge of air traffic control. Actually, there is reportedly a hotline between U.S. and Russian military counterparts. Has that been disconnected? We'll get to that. But today, Russia's defense ministry announced it fired cruise missiles from ships in the Mediterranean at ISIS targets in Syria, destroying command centers and ammunition depots. On Tuesday, a U.S. F-15 fighter jet shot down an Iranian-made drone, the second time that's happened in the last month. And last Sunday, a U.S. fighter shot down a Syrian jet near Raqqa after it reportedly was too close to U.S.-backed forces. Of course, the U.S. started airstrikes on Syria in 2014, saying the target was ISIS. Moscow followed a year later, saying the same thing, but Russia supports President Assad, so the U.S. has suspected that Russia was actually striking forces opposed to Assad. As we said, this is complicated. Who's the air traffic controller? Phil Ewing is NPR's national security editor. He joins us now. And Phil, start with the Russia missile strikes announced today. What do we know?
This was something that came out from the Russian Defense Ministry. According to their statement, two frigates and one submarine in waters off Syria in the Mediterranean launched a number of cruise missiles against what it called ISIS targets near the Syrian city of Hama. We don't know exactly from independent sources what they were striking or what kind of damage they might have done, but this is something the Russians have done in the past with attacks by strategic bombers or from warships like these offshore to be able to demonstrate that they have a standoff strike capability very like the one that we know the United States has demonstrated in the past. President Trump ordered American warships to use cruise missiles to attack a Syrian airbase earlier this year, and this is the same type of thing, only in this case the weapons are Russian, the warships are Russian, and the targets are ISIS, as opposed to the anti-regime forces the Russians have also been attacking.
Well, and President Trump's attacks were after it was reported that President Assad's forces, or at least forces supporting Syria, had made chemical attacks on civilians there. But do we know if the Russian claim is true that they are attacking ISIS and no longer, as it was suspected they were, no longer attacking Syrians who are against Assad?
What we understand from defense officials before this is that there have been some Russian attacks on mutually agreed terror targets, including ISIS and Syria. But the lion's share of Russia's military operations are not focused on the Islamic State. They're focused on helping the Syrian regime of President Bashar Assad defeat anti-government forces on the ground militarily. There have also been assistance from regular Russian forces in terms of weapons and advice and ammunition and equipment for the ground troops that are loyal to Damascus. So it isn't as though the Russians haven't attacked any ISIS targets or any terrorist targets, but most of the time they're not doing that. Although the politics for them are to focus on those claims because they make the case, as you mentioned a moment ago, that they're in Syria because they're fighting terrorism, just the same as the United States and the other actors there say that.
Well, when the U.S. shut down that Syrian jet last Sunday, Russia responded by saying it would be tracking U.S. planes as targets. And there were also reports that Russian officials said they'd be disconnecting this hotline that existed between the two countries so that they could stay out of each other's way. Does that hotline exist? Has it been disconnected? What do we know?
We don't know whether it's being used or not. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joe Dunford, said when he gave a press conference earlier this week that as of the time he left the Pentagon that morning, they were still using it. But from what we understand from defense officials and military sources in Syria is that the Russian use of it can be quite selective. Sometimes Americans in Syria will get on the radio or pick up the phone, metaphorically speaking, and say, here's where we're going to operate, or please keep your forces away from this area. And sometimes the Russians do it, and sometimes they don't, but they very seldom actually respond. So even though the channel is open, it's not as though there are people talking with two halves of a telephone conversation necessarily. Yeah. And that's one of the things that makes this situation so fraught. You don't know who is listening or what they're going to do at any given time.
Well, in the seconds we have, does that mean, I mean, it feels like there could be a confrontation between the U.S. and Russia in the skies over Syria.
It's a very risky situation. There's American warplanes, there's drones, there's Syrian warplanes, Syrian drones, Iranian drones, Syrian warplanes, and with no reliable system for keeping them all safely apart, the risk is that they could come into contact in an unfortunate way and potentially cause a flashpoint.
Yeah, even an accident. Phil Ewing, NPR's national security editor. Phil, thank you.
Thank you.